This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Raise Your Game. At Leadernomics, their stance is that decision-making is something they start building early on through developing self-agency. So by becoming people that are comfortable at taking initiative, making choices and living with the consequences of their decisions, they also improve their decision-making skills as well as become more equipped to drive change and leave a legacy. I'm here with Jason Chick right now, talking about decision-making for effective leadership. So welcome to another episode of Raise Your Game. And if you haven't, for those of you who don't know Jason, nice to be speaking to you and maybe introduce a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hi, Frida. Thanks so much for having me. With pleasure to be back here. My name is Jason, born and bred in KL. Career-wise itself, I've always been an L&D or learning and development person since I started working. I am attached to Leadernomics already for 6 years now, and recently I co-founded a startup by the name of Evox. So we found that the effectiveness of the traditional learning methodologies has been dwindling over and over the years, and unconventional learning methodologies are the way to go. Hence, Evox aimed to create an orthodox or unique learning products so learners can actually build their confidence, conviction, and also competence. And also through that, the learning retention rate will actually be higher.
All right. Okay. So today's topic, decision making for effective leadership. Tell us.
Okay. In all honesty, when I was told about the topic today, I actually become very enthused, very excited about it.
Why so excited?
Because again, Frida, the decision making has always been a staple in our daily life. We make decisions, constant decisions every single day, every moment of our life, I believe. And the consequences of our decision will always have an impact, an indirect impact, not only towards ourselves, but towards other people around us as well.
Right.
So therefore, I felt that this topic has always been going under the radar a little bit. Sure, we always talk about the consequences of the behavior or the poor decision made by other people. We critique it. And also, what I felt that is that the skills instead is actually very underrated and underappreciated. And that's why it's a lot less talked about or under-discussed. So I'm really, really glad that we are bringing this topic to the table about the skills of decision-making. Right. And hopefully our conversation will be a fruitful one.
Right. And it's easy always, we like to tell people where they've made bad decisions, right? it's easier to criticize, but it is an important skill, right? And you feel that this is a core leadership skill?
Yes, definitely, Frida. I believe that decision-making is not only a core leadership skill, but it's a core life skill as well. So let's just start by talking about the act of decision-making. Maybe later on, we can go and talk about the art of decision-making. As I mentioned earlier, I believe that everyone is in constant decision-making mode every day. Yeah. And majority of these decisions are very day-to-day decisions, right? Where we face with multiple choices. I think a big majority of the decisions revolve around petty tasks or menial tasks such as what to eat lah, what to wear lah, where to park lah. All those are decisions, right, Frida?
Yeah.
However, most of the adults do work or even some of them run businesses. A portion of decision making always revolves around work related decisions.
Right.
So for work-related decisions, Frida, I will lump it to three major categories. First category is always on the operational day-to-day decisions. These type of decisions are very straightforward in nature most of the time, and would normally revolve a predetermined set of permutation instruction or what we call an SOP, standard operating procedure. Right. As they are very straightforward, most of these decisions are very easy to make and can be made in a noticeably very short amount of time.
Right.
Then we have something called strategic decision, Frida. As we all know, strategy is always a macro plan for the medium and long-term direction of a business. Such decisions are rarer in nature and comes in season as well. It's not rare for you to see that people make this kind of decision nearing the end of the year much more than the middle of the year, because they need to plan ahead for the new year, right? Such as at this moment itself, October, November, December, people go into the strategic planning mode.
Go on, sorry. So people go into strategic planning mode. Although I think when you talk about, operational day-to-day decisions and strategic decisions, because of the pandemic, every day now is a strategic decision.
Exactly.
Don't have to wait till year end. So anyway, you talked about the two types of decisions, operational and strategic decisions. What is the third one?
The third one, Frida, a good thing that we talk about COVID or coronavirus at the moment is that life is usually unpredictable in nature. There are some days that crisis might pop up in workplace. Like recently when the government reintroduced the CMCO in Selangor, Kuala Lumpur and also Sabah itself, a lot of companies are suddenly given a day or two in order to get their house in order before the lockdown or the restricted movement begins. The third kind of decision, very, very similar to what you mentioned just now, Frida, which I term it as emergency decisions. Exciting as they might sound to be, at least when we talk about it, they can be very complicated and also challenging. And poor decision-making will always cause a problem to spiral in or escalate into a bigger problem, Frida. I'm sure that we can find this kind of equivalent in day-to-day life, not only the work life, but today let's just talk about the work life a little bit more, Frida.
Yeah, and it's just when you talk about the operational day-to-day, it's very difficult now. Operational day-to-day seems to be so long ago. Everything seems to be strategic and emergency, right? So, on the other hand then, right, what influences bad decision-making and what are the consequences of bad decisions?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that, Frida. Before I attempt to answer the question, let me do a little bit of a disclaimer here. I would like to point out that hindsight is actually a very powerful, but I would feel a very dangerous tool that we as human beings possess.
Right.
So we always criticize or critique a certain decision in hindsight, right? Be it made by our family, be it made by our leaders of the society, our politician, our business leaders out there. For me, there is no way that we can get all the decision right because we are only human. So for me, at least, a decision can be already classified as a good decision if we can make that decision with all the information that we can obtain at that point of time.
Right.
So no regrets there. Again, we always can improve decision making, but at that point of time, that is the decision that you can make. So now I get it out of the way. There's a few factors that influences poor decisions out there. A lot of work-related decisions are something that we have in routine. So we do decisions that is very quick to save us a lot of time, what psychology pointed out as heuristic decisions. However, in some circumstances, there are decisions or circumstances that happen differently and require different pattern of solution. And our brain do not catch that because our brain just want a shortcut method. So basically, Frida, what I would implore us to do is to treat every decision as circumstantial, especially those that are a little bit different from the run of the mill.
So are there any notable consequences when a decision is made poorly?
Okay. There are, Frida. Poor decisions not only affect leaders themselves, but also the business that they work in and also the people that they work with, Frida. There are consequences associated with this poor decision-making. So as a leader in the workspace, you are not only duty-bound to yourself, but also to others that work with you as well. A poorly made decision made by a leader in a company will affect the strategy and also the future direction of the company. And at the end of the day, if a leader screw up in any kind of decision-making, what happened is that the employee would normally bear the brunt of the decision. They will have increased workload, they will have misaligned communication, inefficient process being put into place. But on a larger scale, if a community leader such as an MP or a politician or a minister make a decision that is poorly made, it can affect public policies as well. And it will affect or impact millions of people. So leaders are people that are looked up to in terms of making decisions. Right. And poor decisions can escalate a crisis and potentially be hazardous to a nation or a business itself. Right. And people now are a lot more informed and knowledgeable, right? Hence, they are a little bit less forgiving in nature when a decision is poorly made or a step is poorly executed. A company will always suffer in terms of reputation, in share prices, in consumer confidence as well. So there will always likely to be a price to pay.
Right. Okay, I'm here with Jason Chick from Leadernomics. We'll talk about decision making for effective leadership. And later on, we'll discuss, so how do you make good decisions? All that in just a moment on Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, this is Race Again. I'm here with Jason Chick from Leadernomics. We're talking about decision-making for effective leadership. Very interesting, our conversation early on. What was it? Operational day-to-day decisions, strategic decisions, and emergency decisions, and the consequences of bad decisions, right? So if someone wants to improve their decision-making skills, what can they do then, Jason?
Okay, good that you asked the question, Frida. Again, a good thing about decision-making skills is like any other skills, we can always strive to improve on it. As you know, that a company, a management big three company called Bain & Co., they actually did a research, and the research indicate that a very, very high, up to 95% correlation between companies that have good decision-makers with the strong financial performance. Again, want to say that this is a correlation. We don't know which one influenced which one, or maybe both influence each other in different circumstances, but it suffice to know that good decisions is always synonymous with strong financial performance. I want to share the value of information. A quote that I always heard, which is absolutely true, is that information is power. In this day and age, having information, perspective, and inputs are very, very key to make good decisions. If a decision is important and less straightforward, it is absolute must for us to get input and also information beforehand before deciding. So the second point that I have is actually very related to the first point. Right. What if we do not have time to make a lot of research into information and also into input or perspective, because sometimes leaders would not have this privilege as well. So it corresponds to the timeliness of the decision, whereby some decisions need to be made promptly, otherwise consequences could be very bad. This is where leaders could need to rely on experience in making a quick or swift kind of decision with whatever that they have. Third one is that leaders are not robots. Leaders are human beings as well. Right. So that leaders will have emotions. However, in making decisions, emotions need to be constantly put in check because they contain biases and also prejudgment. So sometimes it might hold you back from making a good decision. This is not to say that emotion is a bad thing around, because instinct can be a very powerful thing when it's used with experience. All that I'm trying to say is that for leaders to always use discretion in order to make a decision. The last point that I wanted to share is that effective leaders will always follow their own value before making a decision. Yeah, leaders, especially at the management capacity, will need to make tens or even hundreds of decisions per day. Therefore, the decisions must always be aligned with their core value, without contradicting the values of the company.
Right.
If a leader is not able to be aligned or be congruent with the decisions that they make, then they might not be as invested in the decision. And the result is that the decision made might not be either authentic or a good decision overall in
right,
a way.
Right, because it's not, you know, it's like it's transactional. There's no personal investment in this, right? So, okay, this is all very good for adults, right? What about as a parent, right? And I want to cultivate this mindset to my son. How can I do this?
Very pertinent question indeed, Frida. As I mentioned just now, decision-making is actually a very important skill set that can be improved. To us in Evox and also in Leadernomics as well, we have always believed that we should start at a very, very relatively young age. According to Science of Building Leaders by Leadernomics, we can already start cultivating the skills of decision-making as young as the age of 12 years old and below. So what happened is that at that age group, a child is like a sponge, like in a rapidly developing situation or a very rapidly developing age. You're trying to make sense about the world. You're trying to have a lot of learnings. That's why even linguistic experts tell that if you want to train your child to be taking up different language, to be a polyglot, the perfect age to do so is around that age limit. Same goes to skills such as decision making, I would say. Right. At the age of 12 and below, a child is actually trying to gain control of his or her life. They are still trying to make sense of the whole world and what we term as they are trying to find their self-agency. Right. Developing agency is very important for the future of the child, and a child who actually very much successfully navigate through and also gain agency will be less depending on their parent growing up. This will help them and serve them good when they reach an adolescent phase or a adult phase, a young adult phase as well. Right. However, to gain agency, the child must be made to face different kind of experiences, and they will need to make different decisions, and they must live with the consequences of the decision. Let me give you an example, Frida. Let's say a child got a new bicycle, which the parents bought. So the child is excited. They want to learn the bicycle. First, they will go with the two spare wheels on the bicycle. So it's a four-wheel kind of thing, right? Then when they really know how to balance themselves, they took out the two spare wheels, then they learn how to pedal. And to a certain extent, when they are good at it, they might be facing a decision whether they want to ride the bicycle very fast or they want to go at the normal speed. Again, a lot of kids want to go very fast because it's a cool thing to do, right? So what happened is that they might fall, they might hurt themselves, they might cry, and they might feel the pain. And they felt that, okay, that is a decision I made. And also, these are the consequences that I face. So the next time itself, they might be unlikely to be speeding on a bicycle anymore. So they learn that, okay, every single decision I make will have a consequence. So like the question that you say, if you ask me what a parent could do to enable this behavior, the answer is very simple. Parents need to be very less controlling and allow for various experiences, as I mentioned just now, to take place. Over-controlling parents can stifle development of their children. I know that this is easier said than done, especially for Asian parents who really, really be very controlling to their children. And also, who am I to speak about parenting? I haven't had a child yet.
Right.
So, what happened is that all I can say is that for the long-term sake of the child, this is something that research has shown to work very well. And another disclaimer, what I am saying so far is not a license for a parent to be detached from a child's development process.
Right.
So it's not a license to just, hey, you do you lah, that kind of thing, yeah?
I think I did that.
So a parent would need to always monitor and also set the child up for success, but at the same time, don't stifle their development.
Right.
A parent need to be very, very much a guiding factor. The child will need to come to the parent if they have any kind of dilemma or any kind of decision-making conundrum or any kind of indecisions. And the parents need to be there to support them.
Right.
And Decision-making is always a life skill.
Mm.
And I would agree that it's a lifelong skill as well. So yeah. It's not a skill that you can purely learn from a book.
Right.
So exposure and learning from a decision are very, very important milestones for a child itself.
Right. It's a balancing act, though, to be the parent, right? Not to stifle and yet also to be supportive, right? And again, age appropriate, right? The process is different when a child is 12 and when a child is 18, right?
Exactly.
So in your job, you also do a lot of games, right? And in learning. So children are addicted to games and spend, you know, lots of time on it. So are games an important tool to develop decision-making?
Yep. So Freda, yes, I do agree that the children nowadays, and also actually the children for the longest time are addicted to games as well. Mm. So, in fact, children has been playing games from the simple previous civilizations out there where they find accessible materials such as stones and wood, and they try to make believe and games help with the development of creativity and also decision-making of a child immensely. What happened when a child play games is that they will learn that if I try to make a decision, another person make another decision. Whatever decision I have will need to take account of the decision of another person.
Right.
So a little bit complicated here, but they will learn that, okay, it's a bigger ecosystem out there and they are not the only one and the world do not revolve only around them.
Mm.
All these are good for child, but for me also, half of my job is to create games for adults as well. So game-based learning sessions can actually improve decision-making ability, not only for children, but for adults as well.
Mm.
They are very different from the traditional lecture-based learning that people feel a little bit more mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Game-based learning actually excites people, especially simulation, and they allow learners to take on roles that they would not be able to in real life.
Mm.
It's not in everyday life that an intern or a junior executive gets to take on management role whereby they need to turn around a very struggling fictional company out there.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, what value does it add to the learner is that it gives them a very sanitized environment.
Right.
To make decisions without really caring about the consequences of the decision. So they will have a very safe environment to make a decision. If they make a wrong decision in a simulation training session,
right.
What happens is that they will get laughed at by their fellow learners. They might get a few banters going on, right?
Mm.
But they will not cause a loss of their job or any other jobs in the company because the company is a fictional company.
Mm.
They will not cause any kind of share price to go down, any kind of consumer sentiments to diminish and stuff like that. But they learn very valuable decision-making sessions.
Mm.
And also experience itself. At the end of the day, would probably impact them and also benefit them in the long run.
You want to make decision-making something not terrifying, right? And through games,
correct,
and all that is something that we can all learn from each other, right? It's when we don't make decisions, that's also a very bad thing. So if we can take, you know, the mystery out of it and, you know, understand that, you know, it's part and parcel of life, that it just makes it much better, right? Anyway, thank you so much for your time, Jason, and explaining how, you know, decision-making is an important tool and you can learn it. You can make it more simplified as well. I've been speaking to Jason Chick from Leadernomics, talking about decision-making for effective leadership. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.